Verse 16, we're not going to study Baptist distinctives tonight. We're not done with that series yet, but I want to talk in preparation to open house, and we will be done by 8 o'clock. So just so you are aware of that. Luke 14:16, the Bible says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. She won't let me out of the house. That's what it says. That's what's right there in the Greek. Verse 21. So that servant, I'm kidding, it's not in the Greek, I'm just messing around. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Father, bless the reading of your word. May it help us. May it change our life. May it make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach tonight on the subject, who will you invite to the supper? Who will you invite to the supper? Jesus is talking to, obviously, a group of Pharisees here, and as I've said over many times over the years, I should say, at Canyon Ridge, every text of Scripture, and it's important to get this, and I wish that you'd memorize this statement, every text of Scripture has one interpretation. One interpretation. It has many applications at times, but those applications are an offshoot of the interpretation. The application can never supersede the interpretation. The application can never contradict the interpretation. The application has to be supportive. In saying that, I'm uncomfortable with preachers who read a few words from a text and then tell you how to live your life. They read just a few simple words and they tell you how to live your life. I'm going to give you 7 steps. I'm going to give you 9 steps. 32 things to consider. You say, why is that? Well, I'm different than some folks in this, and I'm joyfully different. I believe in a strong fidelity to the Word of God. I believe that the Word of God should be preached and the Spirit of God should work in the hearts of man. I don't believe men have the opportunity to get up and use the Word of God to be someone's life coach. The Spirit of God is the life coach, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God that changes people's lives. So it's not my job come Sunday morning to talk people into salvation. It's not my job on Sunday morning to come up with 42 sad stories that try to get people that try to come forward. It's my job to explain the Word of God in such a way that a child or a theologian, either one, could understand exactly what God has for mankind on that day from that passage of Scripture. And some folks say, well, I wish he wasn't so funny. And some folks say, I wish he wasn't so serious. And some folks say, I wish he wouldn't use an ammo box on the platform. And some folks say, I wish he wouldn't use people at the front. Well, all of that is fine and good and well, and when they preach, they can do whatever they want to do. But my responsibility is to communicate, the preacher's responsibility is to communicate the interpretation of the text to God's people and primarily allow the Spirit of God to do the work in their life. In their life. And so we're not going to have at Canyon Ridge, we're really not going to have 700 applications, and we're not going to be a church that preaches, you know, reads one verse and then preaches things that have nothing to do with it. We want to understand the text. We want to make clear the text, and we want the Spirit of God to use the text in people's lives. You say, why are you saying that? Well, I think it's important to understand theology, and the word theology simply means the study of God. And as we learn theology, our hearts should burn with joy as we understand something new about God. And some theological truths are very deep, and some theological truths are not as deep as others. I would never use the word shallow in reference to God, but some are more easily understood than are other truths about God. I understand justification a little bit better than I understand the Trinity, but both of them are equal truths about our Creator. And so some are a little easier for me. Some of you might say, well, I understand the Trinity better than justification. Let's talk after service. I've got questions. But I'm just saying some are easier to be understood than others. The truth we have tonight from God's Word is gives us insight into who God is. And it's a text of Scripture that we can draw truth from as we prepare for Open House Sunday. And it's really a truth we can draw for any Sunday. And I would like to state clearly that what this parable is talking about. I'd like to talk about as near as we understand the interpretation of this parable. And then we'll draw some application for Open House Sunday. But it is not independent of the text. It is not only supported by the text. It is intertwined. It is the fabric of the text. So here's the idea of the parable that Jesus has just given. Okay, are you ready? I want you to understand this. Are you ready? It is a life-changing parable that to the Pharisees they had no context for. And that is this. Your goodness, your position, your pretentious piety, this is what this parable is saying, will not get you into heaven. It is not until you humble yourself, empty yourself of your own thoughts, your own desires, and your own ideas about who God is, and turn to Christ alone that a person can be saved. So this text is talking about salvation. And we know that salvation is a work of God alone. Man cannot make anyone come to Christ, but we are to be a witness and share the gospel of the Lord's return. So Jesus is talking to a group of Pharisees in 16 to 24, and really in this whole chapter. And there's parallels in Matthew chapter 22. And what Jesus is conveying to the Pharisees, to the group to whom he is speaking, is that your Pharisaical position, your goodness, your standing, your, what we could say it this way, your perceived right living publicly will not get you into heaven. It is not until you humble yourself and come to Christ. And because you, this is Jesus speaking, this idea of the text, because you reject Jesus Christ or have rejected Christ, he will call others into the kingdom and you will not be allowed in because of your rejection of Jesus Christ. So from this parable, we understand the importance of genuine, biblical, Christ-centered salvation. Let me say it again. Biblical, Christ-centered salvation. I am concerned, as I've said many times, and this parable is dealing with it, that we would love for people to be moral. We would love for people to change their behavior. We would love for people to change the direction of their life, more so at times than we wish they would come to Jesus Christ. But you can be moral without being saved. And Jesus is dealing with that in this text. So from this parable, though, we can learn, what do I have here? Five lessons about Open House. And really, we can call them outreach principles, but we'll call them lessons for Open House as we prepare for Open House on Sunday, not stretching these at all. Look at verse number 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. It's no surprise that the certain man is a picture of God and made a great supper and bade many. Well, who's the many he's talking to? He's talking about the nation of Israel, the one that he chose in the Old Testament, verse 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. The servants are the Old Testament prophets who went out and were, in verse 16 and 17, and bade many or asked many to come to the wedding. So we understand point number one, the importance of saturation. The importance of saturation. Bade many, the word many implies numbers or multitude or a great numbers. Here's one of the great struggles people have as we prepare for an open house, is that a lot of times folks want to invite one person to Jesus and then wait until that one person comes to Jesus. And they say, well, I've invited somebody. Well, that's good. And that's a good thing. We're glad. We want you to invite somebody. But have you invited everyone you could? See, there's a difference between simply inviting one, again, and bade how many? Did he invite just one person? No. What's the supper? It's no surprise that the supper is the context parabolically about heaven. And so Jesus is saying, without a doubt, here as he talks to the Pharisees, that a certain man made a great supper, or God in heaven, or God has prepared heaven for people, and he has bade many to come. He's asked many. The word bade means to ask or request. He's bade many. He's talking to the nation of Israel. And what is he saying? He's saying the importance of saturation. In other words, don't just invite one person to the supper. Don't just invite one person to come. There's plenty of room. Invite as many people as you can. Bade many. The importance of saturation, the importance of bringing as many people as you can. Let me say it this way. Saturate the area you're in. Let everyone know about Open House Sunday. Let everyone know about Open House Sunday. Not just a few people, not just three or four people, but let everyone know. One of the great reasons people say, I'd love to see people saved. I wish God could use me in such a way to see people saved. Well, who are you inviting? Who are you talking to? Well, I got this friend Joe, and he works with me. I've been working on him for 7 years. Well, I'm not saying stop working on Joe by any stretch of the imagination. Keep working on Joe. We hope he comes. But let me be honest with you. Joe probably has a friend, and you probably have other friends that you need to be inviting to Open House Sunday. I'll start saying amen all on my own. We do need to understand the importance of separation. Wasn't it Jesus that said to the disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men? He didn't say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of a man. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, plural. The idea of evangelism is consistently the idea of saturation with the gospel. Some people have come up with evangelism techniques. I think one's called Operation Saturation, of getting the gospel out to as many people as possible so that God can do His work. You say, well, what if they don't all get saved? It's not for me to determine if they get saved. It's not for you to determine if they should get saved. But how shall they hear without a preacher? They need somebody to declare the truth in written form, in evangelistic form, in preaching form. So we see the importance of saturation. So between now and Sunday morning, listen to me, there are people in your sphere of influence that you know that I'll never meet, that maybe will never cross paths with a Christian other than you. And if you're sitting by worrying about, well, I invited Joe, I don't know anybody else. Listen, that person may never hear the gospel. That's why we are to saturate with the gospel. That's why we're to invite with the gospel. As Brother King said, we do our best to give you really good handouts. We do our best to give you really nice stuff that people want to look at. But it's important that you saturate the area with the gospel. I love hearing some of the reports that people have been sending in. I invited my boss to work and he's coming and bringing his wife. I invited my friend and they'll say they'll be there. I invited this person and that person. Hey, we ought to try to continually saturate the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say, I wish I was excited about the gospel like pastors. Let me be real encouraging with you. You'll be excited if you share it a lot. You'll be excited if you tell a lot of people about it. You'll be excited if you just are joyful in your witness. The importance of saturation. Look at verse number 17. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I want to encourage you. I want to show you the importance of saturation, verse 16. But we also see the importance of a reminder in verse number 17. Now, in those days, when a person gave a big supper, it was called a supper, we would say a feast or a party. When a person gave a party, they would go to people and they would say, hey, I want you to come at such and such a day. I want you to come on Thursday. I'm having a big wedding party. Or I'm having a big party. But the time was never given. They didn't say Thursday at 5 o'clock or Thursday at 9 o'clock or Thursday at 7:30. They just said, on Thursday, I want you to come. And in this context, the servants went out into the region and they invited all the well-to-do people. They invited all the people that knew, that were well off. They invited the political leaders. They invited the business leaders. They invited them to come. And all of them promised that they would come in verse number 16. He invites them. Verse number 17, he goes to them again. He sends his servants out. And he says in verse number 17, look at it. And he sent his servants to say, come, for all things are now ready. That phrase, come, for all things are now ready. It's kind of like your mom growing up saying, okay, it's time to come to the table. The food's hot. My mom used to always say, dinner's going to be ready sometime around, and she would make the time, 5:30, 6, 6:30. And that meant you better be ready to come into the house about that time. But you didn't have to be seated at the table at that time. You had to be seated at the table when she said, the dinner is ready. How many of your moms were kind of like mine? You kind of had to be there. Yeah, that's what this text is talking about. That Jesus sent, the man sends the servant back out and says to all the people that promised to come, now, time's ready. Come. What's Jesus doing? Giving them a reminder. See, some of you invited people over the last several weeks to Open House Sunday. Some of you invited people and you say, oh, I invited them. Yeah, but you know what? Between now and Sunday, they need a reminder. They need somebody to stop by. They need somebody to call them. They need somebody to be involved in their life. They need somebody to talk to them and text them or something. Some way to remind them that Sunday morning at 10:30, the most important event in human history in their life is going to happen at 6866 Linda Vista Road. You say, well, how is that the most important event? Well, let me ask you, if they're not saved, what's more important than that? Well, I mean, really. Well, NASCAR's on. Turning left is not that important. Football's on. That's really not that important. Nothing is more important than what's going to happen here. And they need to be reminded. So between now and Sunday morning, I really want to encourage you to remind people. And for some of you, this is stepping out of your comfort zone. You don't mind inviting people, but reminding people, you feel like you're intruding into their life. And can I tell you that that's a lie of Satan? Because what most people are doing is going, man, I wonder if they really want me to come. I mean, they invited me, but I wonder if they really want me to come. I can't tell you the number of people that I followed up on over the years at Canyon Ridge and talked to them. And they said, well, I didn't really know if you really wanted me there. Like, man, we sent you 4 emails and called you 9 times and gave you a coffee cup and a pie. I mean, what did you think? Well, we thought you gave us a pie to keep us away, you know, and I have diabetes. You gave me a pie. You thought, well, you wanted me to die. And you know, I mean, honestly. The importance of a reminder. Look thirdly in verse number 18. And they will all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Verse number 19. And another said, I have bought me 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Verse number 20. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Not everyone will come that you invite. Don't be discouraged. They didn't come when the Master invited them. They didn't come to Jesus. Listen to why they can't come. And this is the picture of rejecting the gospel. I can't come because I bought a piece of ground. And I got to go look at the ground that I bought. You mean you haven't already looked at it and you bought it? And you mean you bought it and it can't wait till tomorrow? I mean, you got to go today during the supper. You've got to go look at the ground. That's an illogical argument because we understand in the context that the supper would not be ready till the evening meal. And they didn't travel in the evening in that day. It's not like they had street lights. And so when they said, I've got a piece of ground, I need to go look at it. That was just a baseless argument. There was absolutely no zero. There was zero amount of acceptance on the master's part as to that argument. I bought a piece of ground. Verse 19, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to go prove them. Who would buy 5 yoke of oxen, 10 cows, that were trained to work together? It wasn't just they bought 10 cows. They were 10 cows that from the time of their youth were trained to work together. And they were a special team that had worked together for years in the training process of one being dominant and one being submissive. You could never work 2 cows that were dominant together because your field would never be plowed. And you couldn't use 2 submissive cows together, so you had to have teams of cows, and they had to have been trained. And you would never buy them without first trying them out. So the master's angry that someone would make such a baseless claim that I can't come to your supper because I got to go prove these 5 yoke of oxen. It's a baseless claim. And then another guy said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. What kind of argument is that? I married a wife, I cannot come. Is she not letting you come? Does she not want to come? Why is it? Well, the reason that he couldn't come is it was just an excuse. There's going to be people who could be at church on Sunday that you've invited that have no good excuse for not being there. They just didn't want to come. Don't get discouraged. How many people were with Jesus when he died on the cross? John, the beloved, and a few women. He's the only one there. What a depressing sight that was. It would have been horrible had there been Jesus and 20,000 people there that worshipped him. But all the people that he fed, and all the people that he loved, and all the people that he ministered to, and all the people that he shepherded, and all the people that he shared the gospel with, all rejected him, and there was John and a handful of ladies. Don't be discouraged when people reject Jesus Christ. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Him. Jason and I were talking earlier this week on outreach. I take great solace in the fact that my witness to people means they'll never have a legitimate excuse before God. I take great solace in that. I don't witness to people so they'll reject the gospel. I always want to witness to people so they'll accept the gospel. But I take great solace in the fact that they'll not be able to look at the Lord and say, no one ever told me. Number 4, look at verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, go quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Point number 4. There are other people you know that you can bring to the master. It's obvious that Christ is, in the preceding verses, talking about Pharisees. They were the religious elite, and they should have wanted and desired Christ, but they rejected Him. Now, verse 21 is talking about non-Pharisaical Jews or non-religious elite, and Jesus says, the Pharisees have rejected me, talking to His servant. Now I want you to go just to the people in the city. I just want you to go, verse 21, to the blind, to the halt, to the withered and the lame. Well, why do we go to the blind and the halt and the withered and the withered and lame? Because the blind and the halt and the withered and the lame and the poor, they were never asked to come to the wedding supper. They weren't allowed in the temple. They weren't allowed to worship with the rest of the Jews. But those Jews rejected Him. And so Jesus said, well, there's other people out there that will accept me. There's others that are out there. Well, Pastor, I invited this person and they didn't come. Well, maybe you have a neighbor that would come, and maybe there's a person that you work with that would come, and maybe there's a person you buy your groceries from that'll come, and maybe there's somebody that you'd pray for that would come. You say, is this all about attendance on Open House Sunday? Yes, without a doubt. Because the gospel is going to be preached. Because salvation is going to be made clear to those folks. They're going to have an opportunity to accept or reject Jesus Christ. Eternity is going to weigh in the balance on Sunday. We think, well, I don't know. It's that big a deal. Really? The feast is a picture of heaven. The supper is a picture of heaven. And Jesus said, well, we invited these folks and they wouldn't come. They were too good to come to Jesus. They had their works established. They had their religion taken care of. And they wouldn't repent and do away with their religion and come to Jesus empty-handed and come to Jesus without anything to offer Him. They wouldn't do that. They wanted to hold on to their goodness. They wanted to hold on to their tradition. They wanted to hold on to their religion. And Jesus, the master of the house, was angry and rejected them and said, go find somebody else who's poor poor, who's blind, who's maimed. Really, the idea is go find somebody who's humble enough to accept me. There are other people out there. Amen. I know other people that need the gospel. Yeah. We know other people, don't we? Yeah. She knows people. I know people. Y'all know people. Amen. They're there. They're all over the place. Well, Pastor, I don't think anybody will accept the gospel. You know, I just don't ever find that to be true. I just don't find that to be true. Tuesday night, we were just doing some apartments and over off Mesa College Drive. And I walked down the apartment complex, saw a lady outside smoking. And I said, Grandma's here. Y'all aren't in a funny mood. That's all right. I'm not going to stop telling jokes. I'll keep going. I said, Grandma's here. And I walked up to him, to this lady. And I said, hi, my name is Chris. I'm from Canyon Ridge Baptist Church. We're having a special service on Sunday. We're trying to invite everybody in the community to come. I want to give you a personal invitation. You know what? She set her cigarette down. She looked at it. She goes, you're kidding me. I said, no, I'm really not. We really are having a special service. There's a sign out in front of our church. She goes, oh, I know right where your church is. I said, have you seen the sign? It matches the postcard. She goes, no. I said, why do you think I'm kidding you? She goes, I have no friends. I'm stuck in an apartment. I'm saved. And I've been praying that God would lead me to a church. I said, well, God didn't only lead you to a church. He brought the church to you. And she said, you're right. She said, I'll be there Sunday. He said, well, what are you going to do between now and Sunday? I've prayed for her three times a day, every day since I met her on Tuesday. And between now and Sunday, I will be at her house knocking on her door just to give her a little reminder. Just a reminder. Hey, don't forget tomorrow. There's other people. She wasn't the person I was going after. She wasn't a religious elite person. She wasn't a person that knew all about the Bible. But she's a person that needs Jesus. And the world is filled with people that need Jesus. And it's time for the church to stop saying, well, it's during our outreach time that we go see people. And it's during our soul winning time that we try to reach people. No, wherever there's somebody that needs the gospel, God sent a preacher there. God's put a burden on somebody's heart. God's given somebody a tract to hand to them. And it's time that we invite others to the King. I wonder how many of you are sitting here tonight, apart from church soul winning time, when was the last time you invited somebody to the Savior? When was the last time that you manned up with the spiritual power of the Spirit of God and just invited somebody to Jesus Christ? I mean, after all, according to the Scripture, you're a debtor to the Jew and to the Greek. You're a debtor to the wise and to the unwise. You're a debtor to the Scythian and the barbarian. You're a debtor to tell the whole world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I think Canyon Ridge Baptist Church, there's been a little bit of culture that we pass out a flyer. We just talk to somebody just a little bit, or we invite them to church. But let me be real honest with you. I'm not about building this kingdom. We're to be about building that kingdom. And it's not just about getting people into Canyon Ridge Baptist Church. It's about getting people before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When they die, that they'll stand before Him, that they'll worship Him at His throne. And they'll never have that opportunity without a preacher. No, Pastor, we need to support missions, and we do. And we support missions heavily, and we're excited about the opportunity to support missions. But God's called you to be a missionary at your work, and God's called you to be a missionary in your neighborhood, and God's called you to be a missionary with your family, and God's called you to be a missionary in your community, and God's called you to be a missionary at Starbucks, and God's called you to be a missionary everywhere you go. There's others that can be invited. And fifthly, in verse 22 to 24... the servant said, Lord, it's done, and Thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. And the Lord said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that there may be, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, verse 22 to 24, Jesus is talking about the Gentiles. The servant went to the Jews, and there's still room. So I'm gonna tell you to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. He's talking about the Gentiles. The Gentiles had no way of salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And remember, Christ came in His first coming to offer the nation of Israel an opportunity to repent and to trust Him. When they rejected Him, remember in His first coming, He didn't go into the cities of the Gentiles, Matthew chapter 10. He didn't send His apostles to anywhere but to the house of Israel. And they rejected Him. So in their rejection of Him, He says, okay, go to the Gentiles. So the principle is what we just talked about a little bit. There are people that you don't know that need the gospel. And God does not accidentally bring them across your path. He brings them across your path as a divine appointment. As a divine appointment. Well, you mean I'm to witness them? You're to do what you can. Sometimes divine appointments happen really well. They're wonderful. I've told the story of witnessing to a guy from Miami to Las Vegas. I was flying home and our connection was in Las Vegas. I've told the story of witnessing to an administrator from UC Berkeley. For 3 hours, I shared the gospel. That was a wonderful opportunity. But I've also told the story of my friend who went out to Amarillo International Airport when George W. Bush was the governor of the state of Texas, and he was coming to Amarillo to look at the Bell helicopter plant where they produced the Osprey. And my friend went out and he was a pilot and he had special access. And when George W. walked through, my friend handed him a gospel tract and he said, I don't know if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, but He is the only way to heaven, and I encourage you to read this flyer when you get a chance. He said, George W. told him he was a saved man, shook his hand and went on. I'm not sure about everything, but I know God doesn't bring people in our path by accident. I know a little leaven leavens the whole lump. There's people that we don't know that need the gospel, and we ought to be sharing Christ with them as much as we possibly can. We ought to be encouraging them. It may be someone you've never met. It might be the waitress. It might be the barista at Starbucks. But there's someone with whom you can share the gospel. You don't know them now, but you can bring them to the Master. We had a lady visit our church 2 weeks ago. She was supposed to be here Sunday, had a family tragedy, and was unable to be here, and we followed up with her. But she wants to be baptized at Canyon Ridge Baptist Church. She's checked out our website. She's talked to us. She'll be baptized as near as we can tell in the near future. And Brother Burns asked her, how did you accept Christ? And I was just asking her about her salvation. She said I can't remember the time frame. Let's say 6 months ago. I could be off on that. I think it was around there. She said 6 months ago I was riding a bus and a lady walked up to me and asked me if I died today, if I'd go to heaven. She said, and I didn't know where I'd go if I died. And she sat down and she showed me from the Bible how heaven could be my home. And I accepted Christ as my Savior right there on the bus. Doesn't even know who the lady is. Just knew that a lady sat down and shared with her the gospel. See, what Open House Sunday is, it's an opportunity to invite a lot of people to the supper. So I have a question for you. Who will you invite to the supper? Who are you going to invite? Who have you invited? Is it more than one? Is your sphere of influence invited? Are there people in your neighborhood that you've invited? Are there people in that you work with that I don't know if I want to invite them? No, let's do the right thing. Let's follow the biblical principle. Let's establish a biblical culture around here that we want to share with people the gospel, not as much as we deem possible, but as much as God deems possible, and that we are purveyors and conveyors of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll bring somebody with you to the supper. I hope there'll be nothing more important in your life than reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing more important. And it's a lot of fun, too. It's the most fun I have all the time is being out sharing the gospel with people and having fun and enjoying it and enjoying people and loving people enough to share with them the glorious message of Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Let me encourage you to bring someone with you to the supper. Let me encourage you to be at outreach this week. Let me encourage you to bring people with you. Let me encourage you to call people, Facebook people, do whatever you need to do to bring people with you. with you to the supper and be a part of something that God is trying to do. But don't be a stick in the mud. Don't wish you had later. Now, today, make the determination, I'm going to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't make them come to Christ. They could not be forced. But I can share with them. I can be passionate with them. I can encourage them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for our